Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is 66 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. Still another pleasant day with a few more to go. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 5G. Tetrahertz, millimeter wave, and the Internet of Everything. And we had Mr. JJ Inc., a.k.a. James Freeland, on his guest yesterday. And it was wonderful to talk to JJ. We haven't talked to him in a long time. And hopefully we'll do another UCY of Christmas Past one of these days soon. But we talked about, over the last few days, frequencies and connectivity and this new type of wireless that they are about ready to launch on planet Earth. And we've never quite seen anything like this before. And they are going to be utilizing low space orbit with some of these CubeSats. We looked at those little 10 by 10 by 10 satellites that everyone and their brother is getting ready to launch. And I'm serious. Like, they have universities. They had the Air Force. They had Google. They had NASA offering to take them up to the space station and dump them into the atmosphere for free. We read an article about the actual reason for that. We had one story that talked about the Air Force wanting to plasma bomb the sky with them to increase radio reception across the globe. And then we read another story that talked about using these little CubeSats that had tetrahertz millimeter wave connectivity to be able to monitor the Internet of Everything for the next coming global push that is going to connect us all to the Internet of Things. But as we started digging into the technology, we found out with the FCC redacted application that Google, who's setting up their Skybender 5G ubiquitous autonomous solar drones to beam internet across the globe, we found out that they had stuff going on in New Mexico. We found out Facebook is opening their main data center in New Mexico. We found out that that's where Virgin Galactic and SpaceX has a spaceport that they're sharing or leasing from NASA and some other company. We found out that there's all kinds of DARPA experiments going on there as well. Jeff Wepperson of On the Brink the other day dropped me an announcement. I was really hoping that we could get the video to this. I don't know if they're going to, because it seems like it's kind of a super secret futuristic type thing, but you know, when we were discussing these wireless technologies, we found out tetrahertz lies right between optical and microwave. And a lot of the devices that we're using today, such as our cell phones and our wireless routers and things of that nature, are all in the microwave range. They're the 2.4 and the 5.8 gigahertz. Those are the same frequencies that your microwaves work on, and those are exactly why, and actually some of your cordless phones as well, and actually why when you turn on your microwave, I don't notice it. Well, maybe I don't notice it too much anymore because I don't have a microwave. But I did used to notice it when it was dinner time and the microwave would be turned on and I'm still trying to work. All of a sudden, everything would have trouble with connectivity here. And that was because you were getting interference from the 2.4 gigahertz that was being popped out of your microwave with your 2.4 gigahertz 802.11 wireless router. Well, don't worry about it. Because now the Air Force, this is the story that Jeff dropped me, Division Chief presents abilities of high-powered microwave weapons at TEDx Albuquerque. Now, that was just this week. I think it was the 17th or the 19th, the 17th. An Air Force research laboratory scientist will present at TEDx Albuquerque on September 17th at the Kiva Auditorium to discuss the use of non-lethal weapons in combat. Yes, microwave, non-lethal, like be able to make your ears bleed type stuff. Mary Lou Robinson. Actually, they could heat things up and they could put voices in your head. Guys, this technology, we read a Reuters story yesterday about all these new types of directed energy weapons. The military is going all full out to start developing this stuff like they haven't before. And if even if they did before, it's now going to come out in the open. It really makes you wonder. We laid out a lot of the connections between the tech industry, the federal government, and the military, especially Google and DARPA. But remember, they also have that, I don't remember what it's called, but it's the new Military Advisory Board for upgrades. So they brought in all the tech titans, as well as all kinds of other dudes like Cass Sunstein. I mean, what? Just people on these boards, they're trying to suck. A lot of the decision makers into the machine. See, once you become a party to what they're doing, it's going to be very difficult to get out. It's going to be very difficult to speak against it when we're giving you exclusive contracts to be able to provide us these technologies, to be able to provide us, the federal government, the expertise to upgrade our technology. This is what this has all been done under the guise of. Whoops, we have hackers. Oh, well, computer systems are all old. Let's help us, Microsoft. Help us. You know, and honestly, I don't even think it was that. That was just the public face. So that companies like Microsoft and Google and Facebook and Amazon could all go, hey, we told them that we wanted to protect your privacy. And they told us that we had to work with them to be able to protect the network infrastructure of the country all in the name of Homeland Security. So, anyway, we have this smiling division chief out of the Air Force's research laboratory, and she absolutely does not look like a mad scientist, which is the type of thing that makes me very sad because I'm sure she's not doing this to be evil. But Mary Lou Robinson, giving a presentation on the 17th at the TEDx Albuquerque, again in New Mexico. She says it's been an exciting opportunity to talk about high-powered microwaves. I want to use TEDx Albuquerque as an opportunity to get the conversation started about technology and the way we engage in conflict. Now, remember, as we have pressure cooker bombs going off at Marine 5K races in New Jersey and in dumpsters and backpacks in New York City, they have been beating the drum for the lone wolf terrorist in the United States for a long time. And oh my goodness, in one weekend we had three terror attacks. He also had Minnesota stabbing. Guy just went to go get his iPhone. He's all happy. And somehow he just went all apeshit crazy and stabbed 10 people in a mall. Go figure. And his parents are scratching their heads going, well, he never seemed radicalized to us. He was a happy kid. He worked for a security firm. How did that happen? Guys, all these technologies can not only be utilized to do stuff like beam shit in your head. And that's one thing we haven't gotten to yet. But microwaves are one of those technologies that can beam those little voices into your head. I found a story yesterday, and God, I have, you honestly would not even believe if you looked at my computers how many tabs I actually have open right now, to the point where I can't even find anything. But I found a story. Oh, here it is, Wired, from Wired Magazine. I think it's from 2007. It's from, and I know this stuff always sounds crazy. Yeah, June 5th, 2007. A voice only you can hear, DARPA's sonic projector. Imagine a weapon that creates sounds that only you can hear. Science fiction? Well, no. This is one area that has a very solid basis in reality. The Air Force has experimented with microwaves to create sounds in people's heads, which they have called a possible psychological warfare tool. And American technologies which I guess is the name of this company they're working with, can beam sounds to specific targets with their hyper sound patented technology. And yes, this is the author of the story. I have heard and seen them demonstrate these speakers, and they are shockingly effective. Now, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, is jumping on the bandwagon with their new sonic projector program. Again, this was already just over nine years ago. It was June. So how far advanced do you think they already are? And like I said, they are working on all kinds of frequency weapons now. We have the Smiling Mary Lou Robinson Division of High-Powered Electromagnetics presenting at a TEDx on how they can use microwaves to do all kinds of wonderful non-lethal weapons in combat. Back to this Wired article. The goal of the sonic projector program is to provide special forces with a method of surreptitious audio communications at a distance over a kilometer. Sonic projector technology is based on nonlinear interaction of sound in air, translating an ultrasonic signal into audible sound. The sonic projector will be designated to be a man-deployed system using high-powered acoustic transducer technology and signal processing algorithms, which result in no or unintelligible sound everywhere but at the intended target. The sonic projector system could be used to conceal communications for special operations forces and hostage rescue missions, and to disrupt enemy activities. So call me a lunatic, but there was a story out of 2007, and anyone who has listened to the show for the last 4 years would probably be in agreement with me that DARPA has had this big gaping hole of black budget endlessly. Year after year, they're funding all these projects at universities and corporations that are spitting out these insane technologies, what they call moonshots. And if they already had this beaming technology where they could beam voices in your head back in 2007, imagine what they have now. Well, these are the same technologies, but using microwave beams or millimeter wave beams or even light beams. Now, we saw some of that Li-Fi with LED, where they can send video and sound over a light beam to utilize as a network connectivity backbone. They're putting already, you can look up New Jersey Airport. I knew I'd seen this a few years ago. We talked about it. I finally found it. That Li-Fi they were using at Newark in New Jersey. It's where I used to fly into when I'd go to New York. I'd fly from either Buffalo or Rochester to Newark. It was probably the cheapest route and the easiest to get in and out of the city. And then you'd pay $10, get on the bus. I think it was for a round-trip ticket, too, so it was pretty good. But you'd ride the bus. They'd drive you all the way through into New York, and they'd dump you off at Grand Central Station. Then once you were off at Grand Central Station, you could either go to Disney, go visit the Disney store, no longer porn down there, or you could walk down into the bowels of New York and go to any of the train lines to get to the rest of New York City. So it was very convenient, but much of the traffic into New York, I mean, I know you got JFK and I don't remember what the other airport, I think is there another one? No, there might only be one. JFK and Newark. JFK is way out on the tip of New York, and I got to tell you, that probably isn't the easiest airport to get to. That's the airport you want to go if you're going international. But if you're just flying into New York as a commuter to go party for 10 days or something like we used to do in college, Newark is always the best. So what a great place to test out these new Li-Fi light bulbs where they use light as medium to connect this little network together of surveillance gear. And the surveillance gear are HD cameras and microphones all embedded in the lights and then using the light to send the data back. They even have lasers. Madison Rupert did a story back in 2012 or 2013 about these lasers they were already deploying in airports where they could literally, you know what, let's find that too, because that figures right into this. Lasers, airports, surveillance. And I thought maybe this was even at Newark. Here, this is out of Gizmodo. 2012. Hidden government scanners will instantly know everything about you from 164 feet away. Within the next year or two, and again, this was in 2012, so it's probably already long done. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security will instantly know everything about your body, your clothes, your luggage, and many other things. With a new laser-based molecular scanner fired from 164 feet away, or 50 meters for those of you who need aid converting to the metric system like me, from traces of drugs. Remember, too, all about being able to do remote sensing, and this has already been a big technology since 2001 when they were all afraid of terror attacks in New York. This will be able to detect traces of drugs or gunpowder on your clothes, to what you have for breakfast, because they'll be able to scan your lips, to the adrenaline level in your body, to be able to get your biometrics to tell whether or not maybe you might be hiding something. Those behavioral analytics. And agents will be able to get any information they want without even touching you. Now, guys, again, remember, this is 2012. We've already looked at some of this yesterday with this millimeter wave tetrahertz 5G deployment that is currently underway in the lower atmosphere. And they're going to be able to start being able to do this from space now. This technology is so incredibly effective that in November 2011, its inventors were subcontracted by InQtel. Yeah, Madison did do a story about this in 2011. To work with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. This is when I was still kind of green and just did not believe the insanity that was happening. I thought a lot of this was just crazy talk. And I was proven very wrong. InQtel is a company founded in February of 1999 by a group of private citizens at the request of the director of the CIA and with the support of U.S. Congress. According to InQtel, if anyone wants to look this up, it's IN-Q-TEL. They are the bridge between the agency, that's CIA, and new technology companies. Their plan is to install this molecular level scanning in airports and border crossings all across the United States. Now, wait a second. When did we already hear about installing things across the United States in every airport? Yes, right after 2001, September 11th, 2001. Chertoff, who had been, I don't know, was Chertoff the DHS or Homeland Security? I think he was a Homeland Security, which at that time might have been even FEMA. Chertoff. Guy looked like a skeleton crew. Let's find him. The Chertoff group. Oh, it's forbidden. How weird. Go to the chertoffgroup.com, and it's got a whole menu layout on Google. Looks like it was a live site very recently, and I click on it, and it says forbidden right on the main page. You do not have permission to access this server. Huh. Chertoff Group is a premium global advisory firm focused extensively on the security and risk management sector. And that's about all I can read, but we can read the wiki. The wiki on Michael Chertoff. There's old Skull and Bonies. Yes, he was under George Bush, and he was still in charge under Obama as the second United States Secretary of Homeland Security. He was there from 2005 to 2009. And when he left, I wanted to find here, subsequent career, late 2004, blah, blah, blah. Hurricane Katrina occurred while Chertoff was Secretary of Homeland Security. His department was criticized for its lack of preparation. Yeah, he failed really miserably. The most criticism was directed toward FEMA. However, there was also criticism that the Department of Homeland Security in general and Chertoff in particular responded very poorly to the event, ignoring the crucial information about the catastrophic nature of the storm and devoting little attention to the federal response of what became the most costly disaster in American history. Chertoff was the Bush administration's point man for pushing the comprehensive immigration reform bill, which stalled in the Senate in 2007. Chertoff was asked by the Obama administration to stay in his post until 9 a.m. January 21st, 2009, which was one day after Obama's inauguration, to ensure a smooth transition. He went on then to form on February 2nd, 2009, so he had all those ducks in a row already, the Chertoff Group, which if you go to their website, says it's forbidden. The firm is also led by Chad Sweet, the chief of staff of Homeland Security while Chertoff was secretary, and a two-year stint at the Directorate of Operations of the CIA. Oh, yeah, this is like really the company that I want to be nude body scanning me in the freaking airport. They also employ Charles E. Allen, Larry Castro, J.M. Cohen, General Michael V. Hayden, and other former government employees. Isn't this such a gaggle? Just like after Keith Alexander, Mr. I created all the cyber patrols that are doing all the spying across the globe now. Keith Alexander. To then create his own cybersecurity firm after he leaves and demands, I remember if it was $500,000 or $1 million a month for his services, JP Morgan Chase. And when you turned him down, oh, lo and behold, you got hacked. But you know what? Don't worry about it, because Keith Alexander came out and said, hey, I think those hackers were warning you, JP Morgan Chase. You didn't pay up. You didn't let me do my business. My built-in business that I worked and developed all this technology on the federal taxpayer dime and then spun it to my advantage, not only to make a business out of it, not only to get rich after the fact and position myself in a position of upper level authority in cybersecurity or in national security, as Chertoff did with these scanners in the airports and crying terrorism everywhere, around every corner and under every bed. But they've put themselves and jacked the ratchet up for our loss of liberties, both of them. And they've made a career out of it, which should be very disturbing. So anyway, let's take a quick look. So we've been talking about different frequencies. So this millimeter wave, also known as tetrahertz, been around since the 50s, has been used in the military for a very long time. They're using it also for large radio-based telescopes like the one in Chile. We talked about that yesterday. And they were doing it to study planetary atmospheres and to be able to scan planetary bodies such as Mars, so they could tell remotely from space what minerals and potential gold mines of minerals might be existing on that planet. We, of course, now have mining companies lining right up to get their grubby little hands not only on Mars but the moon. We did a story back a few months ago about I don't even remember who approved it. It might have been the FAA, which I thought was very bizarre, having to make the final approval to allow a private company to go into space and start mining the moon. But there was a whole panel there. But yes, they're going to allow now a private company to go mine the moon. But they use technologies such as these where they could do remote chemical composition, just like those lasers at the airports where they could scan your lips and see what you have for breakfast, or tell whether or not you have a diabetes problem just by scanning your sweat on your brow. Says they're planning to install these molecular level scanning in airports and border crossings all across the United States. Officially started with the goal to be able to quickly identify explosives, dangerous chemicals, or bioweapons at a distance. Well, how interesting, because they can also do that with millimeter wave. The machine is 10 million times faster. So this is this laser back from 2012. And a million times more sensitive than any currently available system. And that means that it can be used systematically on everyone passing through airport security, not just suspects or randomly sampled people. But the machine can sniff out a lot more than explosives, chemicals, and bioweapons. The company that invented this very invasive laser called Genia, G-E-N-I-A, Photonics, says that its laser scanning technology is able to, quote, and listen to this, penetrate clothing. Yes, because even with these microwave scanners that they've been using in the military, they can see through walls with that stuff. They literally can. Saw something from level 3, L3. It's called Radaris or something. I don't know. Again, like, try and find anything in my tabs, and it's about impossible, but maybe we'll run across it later. There's already a microwave scanning technology where they can just shine it at the wall, and they can see everything going on. And I gotta guess. I mean, you know, color me crazy, but I gotta guess that they already have to have this technology up on satellites somewhere where they'll be able to bzzz from the sky and see you sitting at your desk. They could make, with HD cameras, a bullseye right at the edge of your skull bzzz, to start beaming shit in. And microwave technology is the same technology we just read about, with DARPA in 2007 being able to beam voices in your head. You know, we found out a couple days ago, we were looking at how some of these studies are now showing that our brains are loaded with these spherical toxic ferrous oxide nanoparticles that supposedly came from pollution everywhere and combustion out of iron. That if they heated up or excited these particles, like in a treatment for glioblastoma, like we listened to the video, these things vibrate. They open up the cell walls in the brain cells. And of course, in that case, it's a tumor, whatever frequency they were using, where they can move inside, vibrate, and cause the cells to explode. If you guys remember, we did a TEDx way back, probably 6 months ago or so. This guy was a college music professor. And he started working with some of the physicists and the cancer researchers at the university he was at. And honestly, I don't remember what university it was, but it was a well-known university. And they had started from the ground level, from a really low frequency sound, and started working their way up the electromagnetic spectrum. And what they discovered is when they got to a certain point, and I don't remember what the frequency was, but you can search that in my archives. Before the First Cup is always a good tag in Google, and then I just searched keywords, but I think it was something about killing cancer with sound or shattering cancer with sound. But what they found in this research is that when they reached a certain frequency, it was like the opera singer holding that note, the resonant frequency note, for a glass. My glass doesn't ding. There we go. That causes the glass to shatter. They could do the same thing with cancer cells. When they vibrated at that perfect frequency of that particular type of cancer, let's say, that they were messing around with in the Petri dish, it literally caused the cancer cells to explode. So, guys, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to think that if they can already do it with these little ferrous oxide nanoparticles, just like the ones that they're finding in our brains now that supposedly came from pollution in cancer patients and cause it to blow up cancer tumors in the brain by using frequency vibrations to heat them up, that couldn't be done for other cells if they knew the resonant frequency of other cells. Utilizing some of these other energy beam technologies that apparently the Department of Defense, according to Reuters, spending all kinds of money to develop. I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to think that they already have these capabilities to be able to, cause things to self-destruct, cause you to have an unfortunate brain aneurysm. It just came out of the blue. I don't know. She was walking around healthy yesterday, yapping about something that obviously, they didn't want her yapping about. I don't know, guys. It's very frightening because they could say that they are using this all in the name of keeping us safe, all in the name of terrorists coming into airports, all in the name of insurgents in the Middle East, all in the name of, being able to detect explosive materials or different chemical and biological weapons in New York City. Because, there's terrorists everywhere. But don't forget, with this internet of everything that's coming, these CubeSats, plasma bombing the sky to increase radio reception and launching of all kinds of different technologies in the sky, cheaper and faster and blanketing the whole lower atmosphere, they are going to be able to have a bird's eye view with high definition video, audio, all at a gigahertz, no, a gigabyte per second. We discovered that yesterday. That is the promise of using 5G with millimeter wave as a boost, as a sidekick. But remember, all these companies, Google and Facebook and SpaceX and Amazon, are all involved with the feds. Whether it be the alphabet agencies or the DOD, they're all in bed. Every single one of them. They've sold every single one of us out. They're all going to get rich. They're all going to be corporations of power, rich and powerful people that have all the knowledge about every single one of us as we're utilizing the internet today, the internet of things tomorrow, and the internet of everything in the next 10 or 15 years. As it all comes online, they will be the organizations who are collecting our dossier real time, 24/7, and scanning us with algorithms remotely, mind you, from space. And I mean, this is not fantasy. We have established, I would have to say, if I were a lawyer and standing up in front of a jury trying to prove my case that any of this is even possible, I would have to say that I've probably done a pretty good job of giving supporting material to at least prove my argument that even though there is maybe no real-time proof today, can't go taking a camera, them shooting things down and manipulating matter down here on Earth, but they most certainly have the technology and the funding and the connections and the projects going on for them to be able to do that. Anyway, back to this laser scanning technology of anyone and everything in airports back in 2012 that is probably fully out there. This machine can sniff out a lot more than explosives, chemicals, and bioweapons. The company that invented it, Genia Photonics, says that its laser scanner technology is able to, quote, penetrate clothing and many other organic materials and offers spectroscopic information, especially for materials that impact safety, such as explosives and pharmacological substances. The company formed in Montreal. Again, there's that Canada. Canada has been quietly helping move this march to dystopia forward, working together with a lot of our upper military and government. We've been discovering even some of the large companies. I remember Google's artificial intelligence project had brought over some of the leading neuroscientists from Canada as well, Formed in Montreal in 2009 by PhDs with specialties in lasers and fiber optics, Genia Photonics has 30 patents on this technology, claiming incredible biomedical and industrial applications from identifying individual cancer cells in real-time scans of the patient. Ding. It's all in the name of cancer, people. That's how they're selling every single bit of this. Or in the name of keeping you safe, of course. To detecting trace amounts of harmful chemicals in sensitive manufacturing processes. Meanwhile, InQtel, which is the company formed by the CIA for their technology liaison, states that, quote, an important benefit of Genia Photonics implementation is compared to existing solutions is that the entire synchronized laser system is compromised in a single, robust, and alignment-free unit that may be easily transported for use in many environments. And this compact and robust laser has the ability to rapidly sweep wavelengths in any pattern and sequence. When I post the story in the notes, when you guys go and hit all the links and read up in the notes after today's show, because I know you guys all do your homework. This one is called The Secret Government Laser That Instantly Knows Everything About You by Gizmodo. There are two PDFs that actually one links. It's a InQtel PDF, and another one is a Genia Photonics PDF that kind of talks about these projects. It'd definitely be worth looking at. So not only can they scan everyone, but they would be able to do it everywhere. Everywhere. The subway, the traffic lights, sporting events, and absolutely everywhere. Guys, think about this. At traffic lights, at sporting events. Wait, so they're scanning you without your knowledge? They are scanning you for substances and to see whether or not you're nervous, to see what you had for breakfast and whether or not you got a diabetes problem while you're sitting in your car for the 3.5 minutes waiting for the red light to change. Where is the informed consent on that? Where is the safety study that shows that whatever microwave wavelength they're beaming at me with a laser isn't going to cause some sort of DNA damage? Because we're going to look at that. We talked about zipping and unzipping of DNA with tetrahertz millimeter wave radiation, and I got that story queued up here. What kind of things are going on? Even when they had the millimeter wave scanners, the nude body scanners at the airport, all from Chertoff, former Department of Homeland Security chief under George Porgy Bush, they started talking about the fact that they were forcing people to go through these things that could potentially have detrimental effects on your health just to be able to fly a plane. Then we find out that TSA officers, of course, TSA was all created because of the same need to keep you safe. TSA officers, without much training, sitting around trading your nude pictures as you're going through these scanners and laughing at you for your bad figure. How horrifying is that? Now they can do that shit from space. There's a lot of sickos out there, a lot of pervies. Most people are perverted, even if you didn't know it. It's human nature. I don't want some pervert from space watching me. I mean, guys, this is beyond insane. And there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. How does it work? Well, this machine is mobile, and it's a rack-mountable system, and it fires a laser to provide molecular-level feedback at distances of up to 50 meters in just picoseconds. And for all intents and purposes, that means instantly. The small, inconspicuous machine is attached to a computer running a program that will show the information in real time, from trace amounts of cocaine on your dollar bills to gunpowder residue on your shoes. And forget trying to sneak a bottle of water past security. They'll be able to tell what you had for breakfast in an instant while you are walking down the hallway. This technology is not new. No, it is not. It is just a million times faster and more convenient than ever before. Well, thank God. Back in 2008, a team at George Washington University developed a similar laser spectrometer using a different process. It could be used to sense drug metabolites in urine in less than a second, trace amounts of explosive residue on a dollar bill, and even certain chemical changes. happening in a plant leaf. The Russians also had a similar technology announced last April. So that must have been April of 2011. Their laser sensor can pick up on a single molecule out of a million from up to 50 meters away. Guys, you're going to have some sort of illicit substance on your fingertips, and there's no getting it off or getting away from that. They can find a single freaking molecule on your lip and be able to tell what you had for breakfast. What chance do we have to get away from the surveillance society that I've been warning you? The bag is closing, and I got to say, now, like Wernher von Braun always warned about weaponizing space, don't let them do it. Well, I think this is what he was warning about. And remember, yesterday I was talking about how this all tied back, all of it, way, 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 way back. All of these insane technologies have tied back to the days of the Manhattan Project with connections to paperclip scientists. One of which, Wernher von Braun, happened to be. He was the head of the space program. And someone my dad actually met, for those of you who didn't know. We'll get him back on. Don't worry. He's got more stories to tell. I had him have a couple cocktails with me over the summer. And we sat up late one night, and he told me some more insane stories. So we got to get those recorded. Anyway, all right. So if Genia Photonics claims pan out, this will be an incredible leap of forward in terms of speed, portability, and convenience with staggering implications. Yeah, I'd say so. And here's a staggering implication. Observation without limits. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And how long is it going to be? Like we've talked about before, they can already suck images out of your head and get that little voice in your head and turn it text to speech and make it talk so they can hear what you're thinking. How long is it going to be before they can do that remotely with some sort of weapon or some sort of particle beam or some sort of wavelength that they could just bzzz, shoot down on you accurately and maybe even do it over the city, since everybody's brain patterns are individualistic? They'll be able to remotely scan you, which you know they can already scan brain patterns. They're talking about utilizing them for biometric identification purposes. So they'll be able to scan you in a crowd. Bzz. Oh, there's Jewel. Okay, bzz, target. And then hear what you're thinking. I mean, guys, this isn't crazy anymore. This is not crazy talk. All these people that have talked about being targeted individuals over the years by the CIA and being gang stalked and having voices beamed in their head and making them feel like they're crazy. Maybe these people weren't crazy at all. They were just the guinea pigs. They were just the under the covers black ops. But now they're like, hey, you know, R&D everywhere is free now. So let's just put this all out in the open and we'll put a label on it and say that it's all to keep you safe or to cure cancer. And it's all good now. We don't have to make it secret. It makes it so much easier for public relations. Anyway, so the staggering implication is observation without limits. There has so far been no discussion about the personal rights and privacy issues involved. Well, go figure that. Which molecular tags will they be scanning for? And who determines those molecular tags? And what are the thresholds of the levels of the scanning? And if you unknowingly stepped on the butt of somebody's joint and are carrying a sugar-sized grain of cannabis like that unfortunate traveler currently in jail in Dubai, which I didn't know about that one, will you be arrested? And let's tie this all into some of the pre-crime and that facial scanner that Israel developed where they could just scan your face and look at the genetic structure to be able to determine whether or not you might be a potential future criminal. Guys, the future is looking pretty bleak. For anyone who thinks, you know, JJ was on yesterday and he said I had to go see that new Bourne movie. If anyone has never seen the Bourne series, Jason Bourne, highly, highly recommended. I don't watch a lot of movies, but that was one, man. The three movies that are out get you literally jumping in your seat, and they're using some really insane technologies. And in the third movie, They had actually used autonomous drones with some sort of geolocation to locate the suspect. Well, he was actually an agent, but he was an agent that they wanted to eliminate. And the drone came in supposedly picking up blood samples. They were taking back to scan in the lab somewhere and just went pew, with some sort of laser weapon and blew them all up. But this newest Bourne movie, JJ was saying, my parents saw it, they said it was great too, that everything we've been talking about, they actually talk about in this movie, all these different technologies. And, you know, if you listen to Jay's analysis, Jay Dyer, he airs here on UCY on Sunday nights. Jay does a whole series called Esoteric Hollywood, where he spends a lot of time deconstructing pop culture, whether it be the movies or novels. He's done a lot of the classics like Orwell's 1984 and some of the others, but he also does some of the more current films and things, and he starts showing how, you know, we are not nuts. There is pre, whatever you want to call it, foreknowledge, pre-knowledge that they put out in literature almost like to groom you. And because once it's out there, you might be shocked and alarmed the first time you see it, but you know, once it's out there, like when it first came out that the NSA really was spying on everyone, instead of calling us tinfoil hat wearing paranoid lunatics, everyone was already used to it. They heard us talking about alphabet agencies spying forever. When it came out as proof that, yeah, well, they have been spying. They've been spying at a really, really large scale for a very long time. If you notice, there was no uproar at all. You know why? Because it was already old news. It was already something that everybody already knew because people were already telling them about it. And just because that there was confirmation, it didn't make any difference. They're like, oh, all right. And that was the end, and they went on to something else. So if they put it out there, they get the collective consciousness to already digest it and file it away in that little filing system we call the brain. So then it's not a surprise when it actually comes out. And they're like, oh, yeah, look, cool. Cool technology. Then they'll spin it in some way that'll be beneficial for you. Remember, it's all about what's in it for me with them. There's going to be a benefit to you. It'll save Aunt Susie, her Nana. They'll be able to scan Nana, find her cancer cells, and turn on some frequency after they get those little nanobots up her nose. And be able to kill that cancer tumor. But on the flip side, they could just turn up that frequency and aim it at somebody, Johnny having some sort of insurgent thoughts. Johnny, don't you be thinking that now. Johnny won't stop. We already warned him with the voice in his head. Stop it, Johnny. Stop thinking bad thoughts. It'll be like they'll tell you it's God next thing you know. God's going to be giving you moral judgments in your head from a laser in space. But if you don't take your three warnings, Johnny, next time we're going to turn up that frequency. And we're going to start blowing holes in your brain. Turn it into Swiss cheese. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a bad case of Alzheimer's. You know, I mean, this is not too far beyond the realm of reality right now. Since this technology is extremely portable, it will extend way beyond the airport or the border crossing and be in police cars with officers looking for people on the street with increased levels of adrenaline in their system to detain in order to prevent potential violent outbursts. That's a good question. And if your car is scanned in a stoplight for trace amounts of suspicious substances, what are you going to do? And would all this information be recorded anywhere? Well, I bet it would be. There's a little clip here, a screenshot of an article. It's a page from the Genie of Photonics paper, which is up above in this article. I told you this Gizmodo, the secret government laser that instantly knows everything about you. Click on that PDF. Here's a little paragraph. And they mention tetrahertz. Tetrahertz imaging and sensing. Now remember, this is the technology they are launching now into space. Radiation in the tetrahertz wave. Range wavelengths from 30 to 3,000 angstroms and frequencies from 0.1 to 10 tetrahertz penetrate clothing and many other organic materials and offers spectroscopic information, especially for materials that impact safety, such as explosives and pharmacological substances. It's also notable that tetrahertz waves have characteristics of millimeter waves and infrared waves, and various compounds respond differently when exposed to radiation in the 0.123 tetrahertz range, and each thus can be uniquely identified. There are a lot of questions with no answers yet, but it's obvious that the potential level of personal invasion of this technology goes far beyond that of body scans, wiretapping, and GPS tracking. And according to the Undersecretary for Science and Technology, the Department of Homeland Security, this scanning technology will be ready within 1 to 2 years, which means you might start seeing them in airports as soon as 2013. And now let's fast forward. We're 3 years in the future, beyond when this technology was ready, and they are going to be utilizing tetrahertz in the sky. And in other words, these portable and incredibly precise molecular level scanning devices will be cascading lasers across your body as you walk from the bathroom to the soda machine at the airport, and instantly reporting and sorting and storing a detailed breakdown of your person in search of certain molecular tabs, and going well beyond eavesdropping. It seems quite possible that U.S. government plans on recording molecular data on travelers without their consent, ding, or even knowledge that it is possible. That's what I said. People don't even realize that this technology is today. This isn't a born supremacy, futuristic, you know, 2035 type sci-fi novel. This is research and spin-out companies that have already produced product that has long been in the R&D space that is now being utilized commercially and defensively by law enforcement, governments, and alphabet agencies. And of course, while the medical uses, yes, it's all to save you, could revolutionize the way doctors diagnose illness, walk into that scanner, Johnny, bzz, we'll be able to tell whether or not you have any imbalances. And then we'll put our little nanobot DNA, synthetic DNA doctor, right up your nose. Or here, eat this edible. It's tasty. You could even pick what flavor, and we'll 3D print it in Disney shapes. Loaded with therapeutics for your gut that can go in and fix you. Self-shape-shifting little nanobodies made out of organic biological material. Yeah, I mean, that really is going to be the way of the future. And while the medical uses could revolutionize the way doctors diagnose illness, and any technology that could replace an aggressive pat-down is tempting. For those of you who didn't like to get rubbed down by Maud and her sister in the back room like I did, there is a potential dark side to this implementation, you think? And we need to shine some light on it before it's implemented. Well, hate to tell you guys, but the cockroaches, the robo-cyber roaches, controlled with little nanowires in their brain and a joystick, all got loose. And they skittered behind the walls without having any light shown on them. Because this technology is already out there and being deployed. I wanted to read here a little bit about the millimeter wave scanner. So originally we had them in airports and those scanners that you walked through. Millimeter wave scanner is a whole body imaging device. This was Chertoff's company's implementation. Used for detecting objects concealed underneath a person's clothing using a form of electromagnetic radiation. Typical uses for this technology include detection of items for commercial loss prevention, smuggling, and screening at government buildings and airport security checkpoints. It is one of the common technologies of full-body scanners used for body imaging, a competing technology to backscatter X-rays, and millimeter wave scanners themselves come in two varieties, active and passive. Active scanners direct millimeter wave energy at the subject and then interpret the reflected energy. Passive systems create images using only ambient radiation and radiation emitted from the human body or objects. privacy concerns. Historically, privacy advocates were concerned about the use of full-body scanning technology because it is used to display a detailed image of the surface under the skin, or surface of the skin under clothing. Prosthetics, including breast prostheses and other medical equipment normally hidden, including colostomy bags. And privacy advocates call the images virtual strip searches. And yeah, I mean, we remember the stories of the perverts. However, in 2013, U.S. Congress prohibited the display of detailed images and required the display of metal and other objects on a generic body outline instead of a person's actual skin. And one technology for displaying such generic outlines is called the automatic target recognition software. So as of 2013, all full body scanners in U.S. airports use this new technology. So thank goodness all your bumps and blobs aren't visible anymore to the perverts sitting behind the scanner. While the radiation itself cannot distinguish between private and non-private areas, scanning imaging technology can mask specific body parts. And proposed remedies for privacy concerns include scanning only people who are independently detected to be carrying contraband or developing a technology that masks genitals and other private parts. And in some locations, travelers have the choice between a body scanner or a pat-down where they touch your private parts. And in such locations, such as UK and Australia, the scans are actually mandatory. So they didn't really get into, oh, here, possible health effects. Let's read this. Millimeter wave radiation is a subset of microwave radio frequency spectrum. And like I said, it sits between microwave and optical. And even at its high energy end, it is still more than 3 degrees of magnitude lower in energy than its nearest radiotoxic neighbor, which is ultraviolet in the electromagnetic spectrum. And as such, millimeter wave radiation is non-ionizing and incapable of causing cancer, they said. But I don't know. We'll have to take a look at the health effects and zipping and unzipping DNA tomorrow. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Ms. Lonnie Clark is up next and all kinds of radio tonight. Have an awesome Wednesday. And I will catch up with you tomorrow.